Ask about Fly Fishing Internet Radio, your source for learning more about fly fishing in cold water, warm water, and salt water. Hello, I'm Roger Maves, your host for tonight's show. On this broadcast, we'll be featuring Jim Klugen. He'll be answering your most important questions on fly fishing Belize. This show will be 90 minutes in length, and we're broadcasting live over the Internet. If you'd like to ask Jim a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. And while you're there, make sure you sign up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Just fill in your name and email address on the form on our homepage, and we'll keep you informed. This broadcast is being recorded and will be available for playback on our website within about 48 hours after the show ends. If you have to leave early, you can return to our website at your convenience and listen to the broadcast at any time. The content of this broadcast is copyrighted and is the property of the Knowledge Group, Big Doing Businesses Ask About Fly Fishing. Recordings or transcriptions of this program cannot be distributed or sold in any form. When we return, we'll be talking with Jim Klug about fly fishing Belize. Royal Gorge Anglers is a full-service fly shop on the Arkansas River in Kane City, Colorado. They provide both walk, wade, and float fishing guide service on the Arkansas, South Platte, and several private high country ranches. They specialize in fly fishing education and work to assure that everybody taking a trip leaves being a better fly fisher. For the best service and the most fun in the Southern Rockies, visit the folks at Royal Gorge Anglers, the gateway to Southern Colorado. They're located conveniently on US 50, only 45 minutes from Colorado Springs. For more information, visit their website at www.royalgorgeanglers.com. That's www.royalgorgeanglers.com. Or call them at 888-994-6743. That's 888-994-6743. Before we introduce Jim, I'd like to let you know about the great gifts we have to give away tonight. For our drawing tonight, we'll be giving away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to the Fly Fishing and Tying Journal. So you have two chances to win tonight in our drawing. Now, if you haven't registered for the drawing, you can do so now. Just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and look for the link under Jim's section that says click here to register for our drawing. Click on that link, fill out the form, and we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. We'll also be giving away a copy of Jim's latest book, Fly Fishing Belize, courtesy of Jim Klug. He self-published it, and this is a book that if you win tonight, you're going to receive just an incredible book. I mean, this is a coffee table style book, but with tons of information in it as well. And Jim's a great photographer, and it shows in many of the photographs that he's got in there. So pay attention, because to win this, you've got to be the first person to answer the question we ask at the end of the show. And the question's going to be about something we talk about during the show. And you must submit your answer along with your name and location in the text box on our homepage. So listen closely and use your best typing skills, and hopefully you'll be the winner of Jim's book, Fly Fishing Belize. Our guest tonight is Jim Klug. Jim is the founder and director of operations for destination angling specialist Yellow Dog Fly Fishing Adventures, and has worked in the fly fishing industry as a guide, sales rep, travel coordinator, photographer, filmmaker, and as a past national sales manager for Scientific Anglers and Streamworks. Jim Klug has guided extensively in Montana, Colorado, New Mexico, and Oregon, and has fished waters throughout the world, including the Bahamas, Belize, Nicaragua, Honduras, Mexico, Argentina, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Alaska, Canada, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the British Virgin Islands, Cuba, India, and more. So if you want to learn about the best places to go and where to get the most bang for your buck and how to make do-it-yourself trips successful, you'll want to listen to this show. He has guided extensively, and Jim is the primary copywriter and photographer for Yellow Dog catalogs and website, as well as the executive producer for Confluence Films, makers of Drift, Rise, Connect, and Waypoints. Jim's writings and photography have appeared in dozens of national magazines and publications, and his first full-length book, Fly Fishing Belize, was released in 2015. His work in galleries can be viewed at www.klugphotos.com. That's K-L-U-G, photos.com. Hey, Jim, welcome back to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio.
Well, thanks, Roger. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, and I hear you just came back from a big trip yourself there, right?
Yeah, we actually got home pretty late last night from a trip down to the Amazon, so
wow.
Kind of a nice adventure, and despite some pretty low water in the Amazon, I think lowest historically, we still managed to have a great trip and find a few big fish, so it was good.
What did you fish for down there?
We were chasing peacocks down on the
okay.
off of the Rio Blanco on some tributaries, some smaller rivers, and they're all pretty low right now. But, yeah, it's neat. You know, it's an amazing place to fish in the jungle down there. They're voracious fish and just absolutely beautiful. Hard to believe whenever you catch one, you're looking at it and you think this is something that, you know, Dr. Seuss would have created. It's hard to believe these things actually exist in reality, but beautiful, colorful, incredibly strong, and super fun on the fly, that's for sure.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. Yeah, that sounds cool. Well, let's talk about Belize.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite places in the world, I think, for all kinds of reasons. So I'm anxious and excited to talk about it tonight and hear and have you share your knowledge about the country and the fishing and so forth. So let's just start out. You know, we do have an international audience. Not everybody knows where a lot of the places we go to fish are. So tell us a bit about where Belize is and in the world and how we might get there.
Well, you bet. Well, Belize is in Central America. For some of the older listeners that remember their high school geography books, it used to be called British Honduras, and it didn't change its name and become an independent country until 1981 when it became the country of Belize. But it's tucked just to the south of the Yucatan Peninsula, of Mexico's Yucatan. It's bordered by Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras. It's the smallest country in Central America. It's an interesting little destination and that it's exactly the same size. The entire country is exactly the same size as the state of Massachusetts. So it's not very big land-wise. It's also not that large population-wise. It's only about 350,000 people in the entire country, half of which live in Belize City. It's very small, very easy to travel around, very easy to communicate, because it's also the only country in Central America where the official language is English. And that obviously is due to its British history and British roots. But everyone in the country does speak English. Very easy to communicate, very friendly people, and it's a very safe country. It's also an incredible destination, not just for the fishing, but also for the eco-tour activities. It's a lot like Costa Rica in that manner. There's just a ton of things to see, both on the coastal waters and on the offshore keys, but also in the jungle mainland. So quite a popular vacation destination as well as being a popular fishing destination.
Is there anything beyond all of what you just said that makes it, you know, super special for you?
Well, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have started fishing there about 25 years ago or so. It's an easy country to reach. It's one of the reasons it's so popular. There's about 8 different U.S. cities that offer direct flights down to Belize City. So, you know, it's super easy to access. And then once you're there, it's very easy to travel around. You know, for me personally, I've got a pretty strong connection to the country. Having been going down there for a lot of years, it's where we started our company, Yellow Dog Fly Fishing Adventures, about 17 years ago. In the very beginning, when we started as a booking agent, all we did was focus on and sell Belize. Our first few years, we just had our small little collection of destinations, and they were all Belize-based. And from there, we've obviously grown the company, but it's always been a place that we've been very fond of. It's really kind of where we started and where our roots are deep. So we're awfully attached to Belize as far as fishing and visiting Belize, but also, you know, with our business, you know, talking about Belize and selling Belize. We love sending people down because pretty much everybody comes back happy.
Yeah, yeah. Thomas in Roswell, Georgia asked, what sets Belize apart from other Yucatan fisheries?
Yeah. Well, I would say probably from other Caribbean fisheries, really, because the Yucatan is a great destination in and of itself. It's located just to the north of Belize, and it's a part of Mexico, obviously. The Yucatan Peninsula is fantastic, and it's really similar in a lot of ways when you're talking about the fishing, the fisheries themselves, and the species that are available to that of Belize. But really, you know, kind of what sets Belize apart from the Yucatan, from the Bahamas, from Honduras, from a lot of these other destinations. I would put Cuba in the mix now. Really for Belize, the big draw for anglers in my opinion, has always been the diversity of species and the diversity of fishing scenarios. You know, you can think of bonefish and you pretty immediately think of the Bahamas. The Bahamas is phenomenal for bonefish, for sizes and numbers. Oftentimes people think of the Florida Keys when it comes to tarpon. You know, the nice thing about Belize is it's got all the different species and it's very, very strong as far as diversity goes. So in a given day of fishing down there, Roger, you're going to, you know, potentially have shots at bonefish and permit and tarpon and snook and numerous other species. And that's really, in my mind, what sets Belize apart as a fishing destination. You know, that's the diversity of species. You also have a great diversity of fishing scenarios, be it hard white sand and crushed coral flats, softer kind of deeper mud flats, coastal tributaries and river mouths, which are home to great numbers of snook and tarpon, you know, mangrove lagoons, deeper channels. You got all different types of fishing scenarios found in the waters of Belize. And again, you put all that together, mix it with the diversity of species, and, you know, you're going to find something for everyone down there. You're also going to find an opportunity, you know, to, you know, fishing all these different opportunities, whether it's over the course of multiple trips or even a single week of fishing.
Right, right. Yeah. It is quite diverse. Thomas also asked, and you had mentioned this a minute ago, about personal safety. You know, he mentioned the concerns regarding being out at night in Belize City.
Sure.
How has that changed in the past, you know, 15 years or so?
Well,
better, worse, or?
You know, I would say, honestly, it's gotten better in a lot of areas down there. Here's the thing. Belize is very small, 350,000 people in the whole country. Half that population is in Belize City itself. You get to the outer areas, you know, or smaller communities like Key Cawker or Hopkins or Punta Gorda or a lot of the places that fishing takes us in Belize. And these are still small villages, small towns, incredibly friendly people, very safe, incredibly rare to see any kind of problems down there at all. Now, Belize City is like a lot of Central American cities where they certainly have their issues. Personally, I like Belize City. It's a neat historical city. It's very colorful, very friendly. Like every city, it's got areas that you want to avoid. There's also places at night you don't want to be wandering around, whether you're a local or whether you're a tourist. So you just have to be smart, like when you travel to any city. I will tell you, in my opinion, Belize City has gotten safer over the last 15 years in most areas for the simple reason that tourism and cruise ships have discovered Belize City. And so you get a lot of tourists down there. The last thing the government wants are problems relating to crime with visiting tourists, whether it's, you know, grandma and grandpa are stepping off the cruise ship for an afternoon of walking around. They've got a pretty strong presence with what they call the tourism police down there. And so most of the areas that you would visit as a tourist, as an angler, as someone who's vacationing and passing through are very safe in Belize City. Once you get outside of Belize City, very few areas anywhere in the country where you're going to have problems. But, you know, that's one of the big draws about Belize versus, for instance, neighboring countries like Guatemala and Honduras, where they have major problems these days and some serious crime in a lot of their big cities, and are oftentimes discussed as, you know, some of the most dangerous destinations, certainly in this part of the world. Belize is still very small, very safe. Tourism is everything down there, and the government and the police down there go to great lengths to make sure that, you know, tourists and visitors are safe at all times. It's a big, big priority for the country. It's still small enough with a small enough population where there are rarely any problems at all down there. But it's a good question. I'm glad that Thomas asked that.
Well, you have to, like you say, be smart about things. I know when I traveled down there, whether I was out on a, like one day we were out sailing and we were anchored by an island out near Turniff, and there was a couple of guys just living on the beach in the shack, and you know, from them coming out in their little boat to ask us if they could help us with anything, you know, the people in the towns and stuff, and they were all super friendly to us, and
that's kind of the Belizean way for sure. Very friendly people.
So you had mentioned a few of the species, the big ones to target on a fly. You had said tarpon, bonefish, permit, snook. What else is there down there that you might be run into as you're fly fishing?
Well, that's a good question, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because oftentimes when it comes to saltwater flats destinations, as anglers and as fly fishermen, we get very focused on, especially on the big three. And people want to go out and they want to catch permit and tarpon and bonefish, and they become so kind of focused on this trifecta of the Grand Slam flat species that oftentimes a lot of these other fish and game fish are overlooked. And, you know, this is true anywhere in the Caribbean, but, you know, in Belize, you're going to find opportunities for several different types of snapper. You're going to find opportunities for big jacks, for big barracuda, you know, for grouper at times, for sharks. I mean, there's a lot of additional species that can be found, targeted, and caught on a fly rod, which are great. But, you know, to finish that question, you know, I always encourage our customers that we send down to Belize and anglers are going to fish Belize to really keep an open mind on all these other species. Because, you know, for instance, if you've never caught a barracuda on a fly rod or you've never caught a big mangrove snapper, I mean, these are awesome sport fish. They're great. And they're available, you know, throughout the country down there. They're well worth taking shots at if the opportunities present themselves. And you know, anything really to fly is great on a fly rod. There's no doubt about it.
Treg in Moscow, Idaho, just wrote in on the internet. He wanted to know if about triggerfish, if they're something that you would target down there.
So they've got a triggerfish species that are available. We see them in places like Turnif out on the atoll and out of Glover's Reef pretty regularly. They're not the same type of triggerfish or the same, you know, with the same look as the triggerfish you find in the Indian Ocean, in places like the Seychelles or Christmas Island. They're a little different, but they are there, and they can occasionally be caught. They're not super easy, and they aren't always willing to fly, but occasionally anglers do get them, and they are caught, and usually on those kind of outer reef islands further offshore on the flats is where you find them.
Same
with the parrotfish.
Yeah, it seems when I've been diving, when I'm watching triggerfish, they seem to be primarily feeding off the coral and the rocks.
Correct.
And stuff.
So I
would imagine they'd be tough to, almost like
they're,
a carp.
They're tough in Belize. The triggerfish in the Indian Ocean and in Christmas Island, they eat a fly a little bit more regularly. They'll kind of jump on a fly most of the time, or some of the time, I should say. The triggerfish in Belize and in that part of the Caribbean can be really tough. Occasionally they're caught, but they're tough.
So we've got a few different questions about time of year, the best time of year to fish in Belize. And can you kind of give a general scope of that, and then I'll ask these specific questions?
Sure. Well, you know, the neat thing about Belize is it is a year-round fishery. You can go down there, you know, any day of the year and have opportunities in the shallows and on the flats for any of these different species. A lot of these fish are resident fish. You can find tarpon throughout the year, certainly bonefish, permit. They're typically always there. Now, the weather can impact that. The conditions that roll in can impact that any time of the year. But for the most part, it's a very consistent fishery. The weather, the air temps, and the water temps don't change a whole lot throughout the course of the year. So it's pretty consistent. You know, you can go down, as I said, anytime and catch fish. Certainly there are times of the year that bring different challenges. For instance, late summer and early fall in Belize is considered hurricane season, as it is in other parts of the Caribbean. So that's something to be aware of. The fishing can still be absolutely outstanding, so it's by no means, you know, a chunk of time that you should completely write off when it comes to Belize. You just need to be aware of it. And if you're going to travel to Belize or anywhere else in the Caribbean during kind of those prime hurricane season months, say, you know, mid-July through mid-October, just be aware of it and get a trip insurance policy so your bases are covered if anything gets canceled or cut short or called off because of a storm event.
You know, they are kind of on the edge of that hurricane area, too, right? I mean, they're at the bottom edge of the whole area that hurricane.
Typically, you know, and they rarely have any issues with those storms. I mean, it was something like 60 years where Belize wasn't touched by a hurricane, and then they got, you know, three within 5 years. So there's just no way to plan it or predict it or anything like that. You just don't know. And again, by no means should you avoid those times of years, because typically the fishing is very good. There are very few people down there, so you tend to have less pressure and kind of have the flats to yourself. And this is a good thing to mention, is during those summer and fall months, Roger, a lot of the lodges down there offer really good low season incentives, 2-for-1 specials, you know, some pretty major discounts on lodge and guiding packages where you can save 30-40% on a lot of these overall packages. So, it can really be a great value and a good time to be there.
Yeah, good to know.
yeah.
Thomas and Roswell, again, he's asked several questions, and I just love it when our audience comes up with a lot of questions. He asked, best time of year, and he says, I measure best to mean in the greatest diversity of species. And what you've been telling me, that's always there, right?
Well, yeah, it really is, and it's always possible down there, again, depending on weather and conditions, because you never know what that's going to do, and we still haven't figured out a way to totally figure that one out. But I'll give you kind of a breakdown on the different seasons quickly. Midsummer through early fall is kind of considered the hurricane season, but again, it can be very, very good. Just be aware that, storm systems anywhere in the Caribbean are possible. I'm a huge fan of the late October through early December time frame. It's one of my favorite times to fish down there. It's clearly the most overlooked time down there. There's very few people, and the fishing, for instance, from mid-October through mid-December can be outstanding. Now, January through April, okay, that is far and away the most popular time to go to Belize and to fish this area. Not necessarily, Roger, because the fishing is at its best, but because it's cold and snowy up in places like where we live, and people just want to get away from the cold. They want to get away from the winter, and they want to go to the tropics and fish when it's cold and snowy at home. So January, February, March, it's the busiest time to be down there. It's the most in-demand time. It's considered peak season, more because of the demand of anglers and visitors to the country than necessarily because of the fishing. Fishing, again, can be very good, but you can also have cold fronts, you can have big winds, and it's just something to be aware of. Now, come mid-April through May, June, and into July, again, I would very much consider this peak season. The winds tend to calm down. You have less of a chance of a cold front blowing down from the north and impacting your week. You've got a great diversity of species, including the push of the migratory tarpon that are in and coming through and passing through the area. They start showing up in, usually around April and stay till well into the mid to late summer months. So not only do you have your resident tarpon during that May, June, July time frame, you also have those migratory fish that have joined the game as well, the larger triple-digit tarpon. But that's a really good time to be down there. A lot of people consider that peak season because of size of the tarpon, diversity of different species, calmer winds, more consistent weather temps, all things to think about there. But when people ask us, and they do ask us all the time, when's the best time to go? I pretty quick to answer, well, the best time is when you can get away. Because a lot of times people say, look, I need a vacation and it's got to be in February. Okay, great. Go down because it should be very good. If you, if you're wide open and can go any time of the year, I always like that April, May, June into July window. And again, that kind of mid-October through mid-December window. Those are probably my two favorite times.
And so you answered the question Doug had about migrating tarpon. He also had a question about snook. Now, snook are resident. You don't have any migration things going on there, correct?
Well, yes and no. So snook, during the rainy season, which, again, are the summer months and kind of into the fall, tend to be found a little bit more because a lot of fresh water coming into the mangroves kind of pushes them out a little bit. What happens with the snook down there is there's two things that can make the snook fishing difficult anywhere in this part of the Caribbean. One is that a lot of times they get pretty deep back in the mangroves and the coastal areas, and while they're there, they're hard to target and hard to find. The other thing that makes snook fishing difficult anywhere in the Caribbean is they've got one thing that is really kind of going against them and stacked against them, and that's the fact that they taste really good. So a lot of times when they're caught, whether it's by locals that are subsistence fishing or even by recreational anglers, they get brought back and eaten. So that is something to keep in mind. They're probably not overall throughout Belize as prevalent as the other big three flat species, but they're very much there. Areas like the mouth of the old Belize River and the coastal areas of the mainland offer very, very good snook fishing, especially, again, in late spring through the summer and into the fall months. It can be very consistent down there. So if someone wants to target snook, that's a good time to look. Places like Belize River Lodge, Belize River Outpost Lodge, some of the operations in Hopkins and Placentia, they can offer very good snook fishing, for sure.
Have they gotten good control over commercial fishing for a lot of these sport fish? Is that, can you?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked that question, because one of the things that sets Belize apart from any other country in the Caribbean, and really in the entire world of sport fishing, they were the first and are still the only country where the big three, bonefish, permit, and tarpon, their big three sport fish, are protected by law. It's mandatory catch and release. It's illegal to kill or possess any of those three species. And it was a very, very forward-thinking piece of legislation that was introduced and finally approved by the government of Belize just in the last 5 years since this went into effect, Roger. We're already seeing the difference. We're seeing the difference on the size of the bonefish that are being caught down there. We're seeing the difference on the number of permit that are being caught throughout the country. So just a phenomenal piece of legislation. Yet another thing that really does set Belize apart from all these other destinations. No other country down there has gone to such lengths to protect their flats fishing resources and these species as Belize has. And it's just fantastic. As I mentioned, we're already seeing the positive effects of this even within the first 5 years since it became law.
Yeah, cool. Let's take just a quick break, Jim, and when we come back, let's talk about the different types of water that we could fish. You already mentioned a few of those already, but I'd like to dig into that. Women's fly fishing in Alaska is owned and operated by well-known female guide Pudge Kleinkopf. Women's fly fishing offers several lodge-based fly fishing schools for women, as well as an array of small group-guided trips for women and couples to some of Alaska's best-known waters for salmon, rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and char. Pudge also leads saltwater fly fishing groups to Mexico each spring. Beginners are welcome and equipment is provided. Learn more about fly fishing for women at www.womensflyfishing.net. That's womensflyfishing.net. Or call Pudge directly at 907-274-7113. That's 907-274-7113. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, and we're talking with Jim Klug about fly fishing Belize. If you'd like to ask Jim a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, let me just check in there and see if we've got any more. Okay, we'll get into that later, Phil. Okay, Treg, we'll get into that later, too. Okay. I don't know. Thomas, what's BRL?
Belize River Lodge.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What Thomas is asking, is there a better time of year to visit Belize River Lodge rather than turnip or ambergris?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. And one of the biggest offerings, I think, strengths of the Belize River Lodge fishing program is, of course, their tarpon, followed pretty closely by their snook fishing. In my opinion, they have the best tarpon action earlier than others in Belize, starting usually in March and April. A lot of other lodges, their migratory fish kind of show up starting in mid-April and into May. The big fish, the big girls, as we call them, usually show up first in the waters that Belize River Lodge frequents, which is that mouth of that old Belize River. That's where everything kind of kicks off every year. So to answer that question, I'd say there is a better time, and it's really that March, April, May time frame. That's usually when things are really hot and happening for the Belize River Lodge fishing program, for sure.
And that's down in Punta Gorda?
No, Belize River Lodge is close to Belize City. It's actually about 5 minutes from the airport. So one of the things that's nice about it is you can fly in, you can be fishing that same afternoon, fish arrival and departure days, do a quick weekend trip. You know, it's there's no set arrival and departure day. So it's very easy and can be a short trip, a long trip, you know, arrival and departure day fishing. But it's right there by Belize City and right by the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's. In your book, you mention in much detail about the different types of water or habitats that one would fish in Belize. So maybe we could just you can kind of talk, you know, briefly about each one and what kind of fish would we be targeting in those areas. Starting off with rivers.
Sure. You bet. Well, the river fishing in Belize is available. It's jungle river fishing. It's like the Sabun and the old Belize River. There's a number of these coastal rivers that can be good. Usually when you're fishing the rivers, you're fishing within a few miles of the river mouth where it flows into the ocean. And typically you're in there hunting for rolling tarpon and also for snook. That's really kind of the reason to fish those rivers. And especially like the old Belize River, you can get good numbers of tarpon, typically, you know, resident and juvenile tarpon that can be found in the river throughout the year. And some of these, you know, fish, these tarpon especially, will move 40, 50 miles upstream in these rivers. So pretty neat to be fishing in the current of these jungle rivers, you know, big, you know, kind of lush rainforest all around you, howler monkeys in the trees, toucans, you know, all great, you know, flora and fauna all around you. And right in front of the boat, you have rolling tarpon. And it's pretty neat. But the river fishing, while good, is not always that consistent. You can't say, oh, definitely come down. We're going to, you know, crush fish in the rivers. It's going to be great. You're going to be into fish all day long because you just don't know. It can be a little hit or miss. It's a fun activity to, you know, possibly incorporate into your overall week-long itinerary if you, A, want to mix things up for a day or an afternoon, or, B, if the weather is so bad and so rainy and so cloudy that, okay, we have the river to fall back on, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, in my opinion, you wouldn't go to Belize only for the river fishing to spend a whole week fishing the rivers. It just, it's not that consistent. It's available and can be good, but.
No, I didn't get to fish there, but when I was down there on Monkey River, they said that there was really good tarpon fishing at the mouth of the Monkey River for some reason.
Correct. And,
yeah.
You bet. Tarpon love that brackish water where you get that fresh, you know, jungle kind of earthy water that's flowing into the salt water. We see that down there on the Rio Grande. We see it the Monkey River for sure. You know, the old Belize River is famous for that. And it's just kind of that dirty, brackish water where the jungle, you know, kind of soily, earthy river water is hitting that salt. And how those tarpon and snook just love it. They absolutely love it. So it can
now,
be very
nothing,
good in those
rivers. There's no other, like, freshwater fish that one would target back up in?
Not much. There is a species called the machaca, and that's fun. It's a species that you typically would, you know, fish for in, like, a 5 or 6 weight with small poppers. And it's, you know, again, some pretty neat jungle fishing. There's a couple other, you know, strange and fairly small species that, again, can be caught fishing some of these jungle rivers. But, you know, I think if you were inland and wanted to play around for an afternoon or something like that, it would be worthwhile. I don't know if I would go down again to Belize for your entire trip just to fish the jungle rivers. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. When we did a tubing afternoon up in the Jaguar Preserve area.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty cool because we're going down the tubes, and the water was really clear up there in the jungle.
Very clear, yeah.
Yeah, and you could look down, and you could see, like, cichlids, and all the freshwater fish you put in your fish tank were right below you in the water. It was really cool.
All the aquarium
fish, big, you know,
yeah.
But it was, yeah, really cool. And then, okay, so what about mangroves?
Yeah, so a lot of the coastal areas, you know, have these expanses of mangroves, and this is – oftentimes, you know, the nursery areas for a lot of these game fish. It's also consistently home to baby tarpon and juvenile tarpon. So it's a great place to go if you want to go and find some of these kind of deep mangrove lagoons and coastal areas, if you want to go hunt for the smaller tarpon and for snook, consistent throughout the year. And it's great. You know, if you are down and you're fishing bonefish and you're fishing permit, and let's say you get, you know, one of each, and you say, boy, it'd be really fun to, you know, try for that grand slam. A lot of times the guides will take you into these mangrove areas where they know the tarpon live. And the tarpon are anywhere from, you know, 5 to, say, 40 pounds typically in these areas. But they're usually there in good numbers. And a lot of times it's, again, kind of some of that brackish water, deeper mangrove lagoons. Oftentimes it's sight fishing, which can be fun, but very productive. Again, this is the nursery area for all of these game fish, and it's where the juveniles, you know, are kind of raised and where a lot of the smaller tarpon and snook especially will continue to live till they get big enough to venture out.
In both the rivers and mangroves, it's I assume, you know, boats are a must-have to fish those areas.
They are. They are. And I'll tell you, I'm glad you brought that up because I would describe most of Belize as that way. And a lot of times, and I'm sure we're probably going to have some questions tonight about do-it-yourself opportunities because it's certainly something that's growing in popularity in a lot of these destinations. Some of those opportunities do exist in Belize. There's no doubt about it. There are some places where you can find do-it-yourself fishing. That said, I would be quick to tell people that Belize is probably more limited than other places like the Bahamas, for example, where you have a lot of very easy access. In Belize, that's not the case, and mostly due to two factors. One, a lot of the flats that are close to the mainland and in the northern part of the country that surround Ambergris Key, for example, which is a big destination, a lot of these flats are very soft and kind of muddy flats. They're light flats. It's great for sight fishing. It's clear water. But as soon as you start to wade on these flats, you sink up to your waist. So it's not that conducive for saying, hey, I'm going to grab my 8-weight and just wander off for a day on my own because it can be difficult wading. Most of your better flats for wading are located further offshore and off the reef, places like Turniff and Glover's and Lighthouse, some of the flats near Placentia. But that's the second biggest challenge with do-it-yourself fishing is in order to get to those flats that can be great for wading, you need to have a boat because there's no other way to access it. So while those opportunities do exist, most of the fishing in Belize does require a boat because you're going to fish from the boat due to soft, kind of muddy, difficult to wade flats, or because you're jumping around from the different areas and you need a boat just to transport you to these places.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind there.
And this is, we're going to talk about some of this at the end about planning a trip, but just because it's top of my mind right now. If you're traveling around as a do-it-yourselfer kind of, you know, just exploring Belize, and let's say you decide to spend a few days in Placentia, and you're not at a lodge per se, like Turniff, big lodge affair, is it easy to find just a lone guide to take you out for a day, and what would be the cost of something like that?
You bet. It usually is. And as a matter of fact, at Yellow Dog, we book a lot of Belize day trips for that exact reason, because the demand is there. You know, it's a great vacation destination, and you get a lot of families that are going down to Belize to spend a week. And, you know, there might be an angler as part of that family mix that says, hey, I'd love to get a day out on the flats or a couple days out, you know, chasing some of these species. A guide is pretty necessary down there. Just because a lot of the fishing areas and the more productive areas are located far enough out where you need a boat to get there. There's just no other way to access it.
And you need to get back home.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially through the mangroves.
Second factor. Yeah. But, there are day trip guides available in areas like Ambergris Key and Belize City and Hopkins and Placentia and Punta Gorda. We book quite a few of those trips. The prices range anywhere from about $400 to $550 a day, very similar to what you'd find, for instance, in the U.S. West. And that includes, you know, a full day with a guide with a boat, and that's for one or two people. So you can take that solo and have all the shots to yourself, or bring a buddy along, and you guys can split the boat and guide and split the cost. And yeah, so very doable down there, and very much available.
A little less expensive than the Keys, right?
Yeah, it's you know, usually a couple $100 less per day for the Keys. You know, the important thing about day trip guides, and I would say this applies to Belize and really any place else in the Caribbean, Roger, is that, you know, oftentimes you get what you pay for. And if you see a professional guide and they say, okay, it's $450 a day, well, you know, these are legitimate fly fishing guides. And then if you walk into a bar late at night and say, well, man, I'm looking for someone that could take me fly fishing and I want to save a few bucks, you know, every local is going to raise their hand and be like, I'm a guide. I'll take you out. And they, you know, borrow their buddy's boat and you get a boat ride. And it might only be $250, but you're not getting a legitimate, experienced, knowledgeable fly fishing guide. So, you know, remember that old adage of you kind of get what you pay for is very much applicable in Belize and in all these areas when it comes to fishing guides. And, you know, if you're down there, if you only have a day or two to fish, do it right. You know, make sure you're with someone that can get you into fish and give you those opportunities because, you know, they're great and you don't want to miss out on them if you're right there, that's for sure.
So you had mentioned the mud flat, and in the mud flats you're going to find mainly bonefish. Is that?
You know, it depends. Up north, they're mostly sand, and turtle grass flats are just very soft, so they're hard to wade. So it's not like they're dark brown mud. They're still light-colored flats, great for sight fishing. That is where you find a lot of bonefish, but it's also where you find permit. You go out into places in the north like Savannah and the Mosquito area and the Blackador area, which is a pretty hot topic right now in Belize as far as future development intentions of that area. These are also great areas for tarpon as well. So, the soft bottom flats hold all of these game fish. They can just be a little more challenging for wading because they are very soft, so a boat's required.
Then you mentioned seagrass and sandy beaches.
Yeah, turtle grass, crushed coral. Typically, when you get out closer to the reef and then you start moving south in the country, places, south of Key Cocker, then you get to, like, Turnip Atoll. Turnip Atoll is an incredible, incredible destination. It's the largest hemisphere in the western largest atoll in the western hemisphere. It is probably the best wade fishing in Belize, with the most expansive, extensive flats, all hard flats that are just perfect for wading, and you can wade for hours out there. Again, home to great numbers of bonefish and permit. Typically, the deeper waters are where you find the tarpon out there. As you move further south from Turnip in the country, the flats around Hopkins and Placentia, there you get slightly deeper flats, a mix of white sand, kind of crushed coral, and turtle grass, but much firmer and harder than what you find up north. So, obviously better for wade fishing as you move further south in the country.
Okay. And then you mentioned Black Reef Flats. What are Black Reef Flats?
Back Reef Flats. Yeah. So a good example there, again, would be Turnip, where you have the big reef break that's coming in from the deep water, breaking onto the reef. And then over thousands of years, it's produced an area of shallow inside flats, just the interior of those big reef breaks that can stretch for 100 yards or a mile. And those are all just great kind of calm, placid flats where, the bonefish and the permit will come in and feed on a regular basis because they've got that kind of inner reef protection. And they're just great for wading. It can be a little more technical and kind of fun because oftentimes you have big chunks of coral and other debris that have kind of been thrown up onto those back reef flats from the deeper water. And so, it's not uncommon to break fish off when you're fishing in those types of flats. It can be a little bit more challenging and technical, but certainly a lot of fun. And those fish do love it. A lot of times the bigger fish will come right in from the deep water to feed on those back reef and inner reef flats.
And then lastly, you listed coral reefs and pancake flats.
Yeah, the pancake flats are kind of a description of a lot of the flats you find in the southern part of the country, places like Hopkins and Placentia. And there you have very deep blue water, and just immediately out of that deep blue water, a flat will rise. It might be, the size of, a football field or half a football field, but they just rise right up out of that deep blue, and it might be a foot or two deep, and then it just drops off on all their edges into that, again, that deep blue water. These are really well known as prime permit flats because permit love this type of scenario. Permit live in deep water. They're very comfortable in deep water. They like to come up onto the shallow flats to feed, and then they like to get the heck out of there once they're done and go back into the comfort of that deeper water. So these pancake flats, which you find a lot in southern Belize, can be really, really prime for permit fishing. And they're just great. I mean, oftentimes you'll pull up in a flat skiff in a ponga. The guide will kind of pull around the edge and say, okay, I've got three permit that are right out there in the middle of the flat. Let's go. He'll stake the boat out. You'll have your wading boots on, and off you'll go, and you'll wade for these fish, which is really cool. But the pancake flats can be super productive for permit.
Well, that brings up a question I've always wondered about. Why pongas in Belize as opposed to flats boats like you'll see in Florida?
That's a good question. There are areas in Belize, namely out at Turnip. There's two lodges we work with out there, Turnip Flats and Turnip Island Resort. Both operate dolphin skiffs. The reason they can is because they are in these inner protected waters of the atoll, which is a huge area in and of itself, but it's a lot of protected water within the outer reef of the atoll. So they're not running in big open water. That is where the Pongas are absolute champions, whether you're running from the mainland in Placencia, let's say, out 45 minutes to the outer reef flats, and you're crossing a lot of deep blue water. This is where the Pongas are great. And people who have fished out of Pongas a lot down there and who've run in Pongas a lot will tell you there is no more comfortable boat, especially in big water. You take a small, traditional and typical flat skiff, and you run it in big crossings and big open water, and it's going to beat you up a little bit. Whereas those Pongas are designed for running in that big open water and taking some of those big swells, big waves, keeps you dry, keeps you safe, keeps you comfortable. Then you hit the flats, you hit the shallow waters, you can still pole them very easily. So they're definitely the, kind of the boat of Belize. And with the exception of the two turnip operations, it's what every guide and every lodge offers down there are fishing out of the Ponga skiffs.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's take a quick tour, starting kind of close to the top of Belize and working our way down. We'll have to do this quickly because we are, running short on time. But what I've got for you, Jim, is I'd like you to take each area and just talk about, because this does make a difference, I know, in Belize. Number one, the accessibility of the area.
Yeah.
What kind of accommodations might there be there? What kind of fish are there, the habitats? And, is it a family-friendly area? Is it a place you would take the family on a vacation as opposed to other places that you might not? So let's start out with Belize City and kind of run through these.
Great. So Belize City, in my opinion, is great for anglers that really want to focus on tarpon specifically and also possibly some opportunities on snook. You do have permit and bonefish that are available, but it's really a great destination for those, kind of tarpon-focused anglers. It is also a very fishing-focused destination, not necessarily, in my opinion, the place that you would bring a significant other, non-anglers, family members. It's good for hardcore anglers. There's not a lot of frills involved. The lodge that we work with down there, Belize River Lodge, very historical, very good at what they do, excellent guides, some of the best in the country. But, it's a 60-year-old lodge. It's kind of a no-frills, fishing-focused type operation. They do a great job, but it's best suited for, I would say, in my opinion, hardcore anglers and those that want to chase tarpon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then what about, next up, Ambergris?
Now Ambergris is an interesting destination. Certainly the most popular and visited area in all of Belize. Probably 90% of tourists that come to Belize go straight up to Ambergris. So it's pretty built up. It's like Key West in a lot of ways. It's kind of a big party island, tons of nightlife. You get lots of divers that come down, and a lot of people drinking and having fun. It is certainly the most crowded of all the areas in Belize, but they're also blessed with some really incredible waters that surround the island of Ambergris Key that are home to really impressive numbers of game fish. One of the things that I think Ambergris has got going for it, they've got tons of accommodation options. So if you're a do-it-yourself person, you're looking for a condo, looking for a rental, that's a place to find great options. They also have one of the best lodges, I think, in the game anywhere in the Caribbean, in El Pescador Lodge. They've been in business now for, going on almost 43 years. So really well-established, great infrastructure, excellent guide team. And they really, really do a solid job. In town, they've got a great operation called Tres Pescados, owned by our buddy Will Flack, who offers day trips and guides for people that are staying in town and on the island on their own. So really good options, excellent guides. I'd say what Ambergris has going for it is that diversity of species, also some of the best tarpon fishing and some of the most expansive tarpon flats anywhere in the country. Couple that with good populations of permit and bonefish. It's really a solid first-time saltwater destination. Great diversity of species, great guides, really good choices and options available for both lodge accommodations and staying on your own. If I had to say, what's the downside of Ambergris, I'd say, well, the number of people that go there, it's definitely more crowded for sure. And that's the part of the country, Roger, where you have softer flats, so you don't get as much wade fishing up north. So some things to think about. As far as being a family destination, absolutely one of the best in the entire country, entire country of Belize. We send a ton of families and a ton of couples down there, and really, really solid for both scenarios.
Okay. And then Turnip Atoll.
Turnip is great. Turnip is just the opposite of ambergris in that it is this huge, expansive, pristine, undeveloped, untouched, and, you know, kind of unblemished ecosystem. What you get when you go out to turnip is, you know, privacy and in this kind of solitary environment. It's very remote. It's very secluded, totally undeveloped. So as far as the ecosystem goes, it's one of the most spectacular places anywhere in the Caribbean. What I would say the real pros of the turnip fishery are is great weight fishing, very, very dependable fishing for bonefish and permit. You also have excellent guides, again, some of the best in the country, very educational and instructional guides that can really help you. Again, great first-time saltwater destination. And if you want kind of that privacy in that remote setting, this is what's great. You won't see any other anglers there the entire time other than the other guests at the lodge in which you're staying. You know,
yeah, it seems really expansive, like you said. I know we were, like I said, we were sailing out there and anchored at the southern tip of.
Yeah.
And we took our skiff, just a little rubber raft, and started going into in between the islands and so forth on the atoll. They didn't see anybody in there. I mean, there was nobody in there.
Yeah, it's all to yourself down there. It's great.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they don't have the tarpon that numbers that you find around Belize City or Ambergris, but they're very strong on bonefish and permit. And, you know, they certainly don't have, like, the nightlife of Ambergris and the infrastructure and the development of some of these busier areas. But again, there's a lot of people that really want that and seek that out. So it's spectacular. It's an incredible ecosystem. It's Belize's newest marine reserve. The entire atoll is. And so it's well-protected, well-preserved. And, boy, things are looking good for the future out of Turnip, that's for sure.
And is there anything to do for the family out there that are fishing?
That's a good question. The traditional answer has been not much, but that's changed a lot in the last few years. Turnip Flats, for example, not only have they really upgraded their infrastructure, added a pool, a big deck area, things like that, but they've also started offering what's called the Atoll Adventure Program, which is a hosted and guided program where every day an eco-tour guide sets up a whole menu of different non-fishing activities that non-anglers can then kind of pick and choose and select from. And that's, you know, everything from manatee tours to swimming with the dolphins to Mayan cooking classes. I mean, all these different things that keep non-anglers really occupied. And, boy, the return feedback from people that go through this Atoll Adventure Program is just stellar. People absolutely love it. So, you know, 10 years ago, no, it was a fishing and diving focused area. But now you've got plenty for non-anglers to do, and it's become quite a popular family and couples destination because of that.
Now, what was that at a particular lodge, or do they all offer?
Yeah, those? Well, that's both. There's two lodges out there. That's Turnip Flats. And they also have a similar program at Turnip Island Lodge. And we work with and book both of them. They're both good operations, really, really solid. And, again, better
for... They both offer these eco-tour things?
They do. They both offer eco-tours. Okay. Turnip Flats has a very solid eco-tour. Turnip Island Resort is a little stronger in their diving and scuba programs. But they both offer these programs for non-anglers, and they're quite good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Key Cocker.
Key Cocker, boy, this is a neat destination. This is still funky and small and much cheaper than Ambergris. It's a lot like what San Pedro, the main town in Ambergris Key, was like 20 years ago. But the village of Key Cocker is super laid back, always a very popular destination with kind of the Euro backpacker scene. So you kind of have that element a little bit more. It's certainly more funky and easygoing, and they definitely have that go slow attitude, which is kind of the motto of Key Cocker. There we book a really cool hotel that our friend Haywood Curry owns. And we do packages where you stay at his hotel, you eat your meals, your dinner in town at night, and then one of the guides that we work with on Key Cocker picks you up each morning at the hotel and off you go. Excellent permit fishing these days, pretty dependable tarpon fishing as well. It's great. This is the best value trip and budget trip that we offer anywhere in Belize, Roger. It's just excellent. A little bit more no frills, but great for, hey, I want to fish hard every day with a good guide and then go out in town, drink beers at a funky bar, hang out with the locals, and do it for half the price of anything else in the country. So very cool for that. It's a neat island, fun island, a lot going on, and very, very good fishing out of Key Cocker. Certainly the best value in Belize right now.
One of the things we didn't talk about, obviously Belize City was pretty obvious as far as accessibility. Ambergris, that's just a short plane ride or a boat ride out?
Most of the destinations in Belize involve either a quick plane flight out or a boat ride. Ambergris, for example, you land at the main airport in Belize City, and you walk over to the Tropicair ticket counter. You get your boarding pass. It's always included in the packages that we put together, that domestic in-country flight. Okay, so it's all set up and handled. And then the flight from Belize International Airport out to San Pedro on Ambergris Key is 14 minutes. Again, we've got to remember how small this country is.
Right.
If you fly for more than 30 minutes in any direction from Belize City, you've left Belize. So, you know, the furthest point you can fly is like Punta Gorda, and it's like 35 minutes, I think, if you go straight. So, it's just a quick hop, skip, and a jump on one of these Cessna caravans that gets you out to your final destination. The coolest thing about Belize is really from wherever you're going in the States or a lot of other international countries, you can leave your home in the morning and be at your final destination later that same afternoon. So it's not a lot of overnights and multi-day, you know, travel adventures getting to the fishery. It's pretty quick to get there. You hit Belize City, you jump on a Tropicair flight, or in the case of Turniff, they pick you up, take you to the transfer boat. You're out at the lodge later that afternoon for drinks and dinner. So it's pretty easy.
Turniff is a boat ride out there.
Turniff's a boat ride, yeah.
And Key Cocker plane?
Key Cocker is either. They've got a ferry service. It's like $14. You get on the ferry, a water taxi. It takes about an hour and 10 minutes to get out there. Or you jump on the Tropicair flight, which takes all of about 11 minutes. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Then next up is Glover's Atoll.
Yeah. Glover's is certainly the least visited, most remote. You access it by going to Hopkins Town and then taking a boat out from Hopkins. Not a lot out on Glover's. There's no real lodge or guides or infrastructure. It's more of a kind of camp at one of the little huts that some of these places have and then fish on your own. A lot of cool wade fishing opportunities on your own, but not the easiest place. I certainly wouldn't recommend it for people who are trying to plan a first-time saltwater destination because, again, no guides, no real infrastructure. If you are fairly experienced at finding and catching bonefish and permit on your own, it's a cool option. But it is not the easiest place in the world to catch fish, and it certainly doesn't have the established infrastructure like a lot of these other destinations in Belize do. It's pretty rustic out there. Beautiful,
pretty
but rustic. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so bonefish out there and...
Yeah, big bonefish and permit, but a little harder to find, and you got to kind of be on your game as far as being able to do this stuff on your own, for sure.
Okay. Up next, Hopkins-Dangriga area.
Yeah, so this is an area that's always been known for its excellent permit fishing. There are some pretty cool things happening down there right now. Our buddy Will Flack up in Ambergris, who owns Tres Pescados, is opening a new kind of small-scale guest house and permit-focused lodge that'll be open this spring. It's very good. This is the area that's kind of known as Permit Alley, and for years has been very popular with permit fishermen. Go down and fish with guys like Lincoln Westby and some of the older guides down there. But, no, it's great. It's the Hopkins Village itself is very neat. It's getting a little discovered, so it's grown up over the last few years, but it's still kind of a funky, out-of-the-way place and probably best suited, Roger, for people that are really serious about their permit fishing and focused on permit. There's some beautiful, beautiful resorts down there in Hopkins, like Hamanasi and Belizean Dreams, that are excellent for non-anglers and families. Probably some of the best beaches in Belize. And then the permit flats are about a 30 to 45 minute run from Hopkins Village itself, just heading straight out to the reef. So it's great, great permit fishing. A little more limited when it comes to bonefish and tarpon, but excellent for permit.
So would Hopkins be your destination rather than Dangriga? Is there any reason to go to Dangriga itself?
Well, no. Hopkins is where you'd want to go. You would typically fly into Dangriga because that's where the airstrip is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes about 25 to 35 minutes, depending on the condition of the dirt road, that takes you to Hopkins Village. Not far from Dangriga, but, you know, dirt road can be a little bit slow.
Infamous,
yeah,
infamous dirt roads of Belize.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All you need is a rainstorm and the whole world changes. So, yeah.
Quickly, yeah,
yeah,
you bet.
Okay, and then down the coast, we get down to Placencia. And
Placencia is great. It's, you know, Placencia is really exploding right now as far as growth and development, which is, I guess, good for some people down there. Sad in a lot of ways. It used to be this really cool, funky, out-of-the-way village in the southern part of the country. Now it's been discovered lots of big resorts, lots of big homes being built, a new international airport, cruise ship port that is under construction right now, which is definitely troubling down there, bringing the, what they say will be small cruise ships, which will no doubt in the very near future be the big cruise ships that'll be coming in and out of Placencia. So it's changing down there, but still off of the mainland and out on the Keys, out on those big kind of reef flats, still outstanding permit fishing, some of the best in the country. And that's a theme with all of southern Belize, really from kind of Hopkins down to Placencia and all the way down to Punta Gorda. Some of the best permit fishing anywhere in the Caribbean, period. And a lot of this is that classic style permit fishing, especially in Placencia, where you're finding fish up on the flats, those pancake flats we were talking about a little bit earlier, Roger, but fish up on the flats, feeding, tailing, and skinny water, that kind of classic approach to permit fishing. You're fishing with crab patterns. You're sight fishing to fish that are actively feeding. And that's, you know, as good as it gets for permit, but nothing better. It's just the really the best way in the world to target those fish. And, Placencia is great. Again, tons of infrastructure being built and put into the area. It's growing up fast. Lots and lots of high-end resorts. One of my favorite aspects of Placencia are some of the offshore operations. For instance, Whipray Key is a cool little destination we work with. It's a tiny lodge out on a tiny island out in the middle of the permit flats. So you stay out where you're fishing. There's no running back and forth to the town each day, but you stay in very cool kind of over-the-water cabins. You're fishing early. You're fishing late. You're fishing the tides. You're not fishing resort or lodge hours to be back for cocktail hour. You know, you're fishing when it's best, and you're staying right in the mix of everything. So that's one of the coolest things and my favorite things about fishing the Placencia area.
And what's the name of that place?
That's Whipray Key. And there's several of them like down there, but yeah, Whipray Key, Julian Cabral's Whipray Key, yeah.
Okay. And well, the one thing about Placencia too, and you can tell me how good this is, but because of that, the peninsula it's on, you've got the mangrove on one side and the ocean on the other side. So, how's the snook fishing back in the on the mangrove side?
It can be good. Traditionally, it's been very good. You know, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of development all up and down that peninsula. We're seeing a lot of dredging and a lot of mangrove scraping in that area, whether it's to accommodate the cruise ships, whether it's to build new McMansions, whether it's to build new marinas and slips on the inside of the peninsula. And if you look at photographs over the last 15 years of how it's changed, one thing you see on that backside is a lot of those mangroves are gone. They've just scraped them out and cleared them. And that's unfortunate because, again, we talked a little earlier in the show tonight, you know, these are juvenile nursery areas, you know, for all of these game fish species. But 10, 15 years ago, that backside inner peninsula, you know, mangrove fishing for tarpon and snook was just outstanding. It was some of the best you'd find anywhere. They're still there and it can still be good, but that's one of the biggest challenges that I think that whole Placencia Peninsula faces for the near future is, you know, development is happening down there, and it's at a very, very fast pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, what effect is that going to have on its fishery, both the interior mangrove lagoon areas and then even the outer keys? They're also being built up and developed and dredged and scraped. So all serious concerns for the future, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk then lastly about Punta Gorda. Tip of Belize.
Yeah, this is as far south as you can get before you hit Guatemala. Incredible little village. Still has not been touched at all by the hand of tourism, very little development, very little infrastructure, just a cool, funky little fishing village. That really is my favorite thing about Punta Gorda. It's just kind of this melting pot of all these different cultures from this area where Belize and Honduras and Guatemala all kind of come together in the Gulf of Honduras down there. But you've got, you know, all the, you know, Mayan Indians and the Quechua and the Mopan and the Garifuna, all these different cultures that kind of base out of this area, and it makes it just a fascinating place to visit. It's also home to the Garbutt brothers, Scully and Dennis and Oliver Ewert, who actually works on Placencia now, but an incredible family that are some of the best permit guides, I think, in the world. And they run the operations down there for Garbutt Brothers Fishing Lodge, and also handle all the guiding for Bel Campo, which is an incredibly high-end and unique and amazing jungle eco-lodge, ideal for couples and families, just spectacular, probably the nicest in all of Belize, if not all of Central America. But the Garbutts handle all the fishing down there. The fishing down there, Roger, is very, very, very focused on permit. There are other opportunities, but not many. You know, people go to PG, to Punta Gorda, they go there to chase permit. And it's some of the best classic style permit fishing found anywhere in the world, but it is very much a permit focused fishery. And it's not for everybody. You know, it's not for beginning anglers. It's not for people that need to have lots of numbers and lots of action. It is for people that want to go down and get really serious about permit on the fly and want to invest the time into hopefully getting shots and you know, maybe even getting a hookup. So it's a neat fishery, but it's a challenging one for sure.
Does out of all these places we've talked about, what's a person's best chance at a grand slam for the top three? And not in size, but just to be able to catch.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, and you know, if you talk to any lodge in Belize, they're like, oh, yeah, we could totally do that. But and it's
yeah.
possible, because that is Belize. And in all
yeah.
honesty, it could happen. It could happen at Punta Gorda. It could happen at Turniff. And it does. You know, it does throughout the year. I think probably the best chance for a legitimate Grand Slam would be fishing out of Ambergris or fishing out of Belize River Lodge in those areas. That's where, you know, the guides are very solid, very experienced. They know, you know, where all these different species can be found. And I'd say if you added up all the Grand Slams that are caught in Belize throughout the course of the year, the majority of them are caught in those two areas.
Okay. Yeah. And Turniff is out of that picture mainly because of tarpon are harder to get out there?
Tarpon are a little harder to come by at Turniff. You know, all of these game fish are present in all of these areas, and a Grand Slam is possible. It's never easy. I mean, I don't care who you are. It's never easy.
It's never easy.
But, you know, the thing that Turniff has going for it has got this great wade fishing opportunities. It's got excellent numbers of bonefish, probably the biggest bonefish in the country of Belize, and it's got phenomenal numbers of permit. Yes, there are some tarpon and snook out there, just probably not in the numbers that you find in other places. So, it's like a pendulum, and it swings one way when it comes to tarpon, and, you know, these are the strong areas here. And then when it comes to permit, it might swing back the other way. All of these places have great strengths. And then they also have, and I don't even like to use the word weaknesses because they're not a weakness, but all of these places offer different opportunities and have different strengths. And that's the fun thing about working with all of these different operators and guides and outfitters and lodges all throughout Belize, Roger, is that when we work with our customers, you know, we talk to them about what they're looking for, what their expectations are, you know, what they want out of a trip. And then at the end we can say, okay, this particular destination in Belize is going to be the right fit for you versus these others. And that's the nice thing about having this great lineup of all these different choices and different opportunities down there. Because really there's no wrong answer, but depending on what you're looking for, there just may be a better fit for you. So it's
We got a bunch of questions. We'll kind of try to run through these here that folks have asked. Al in Los Angeles asked, what is your go-to permit fly in Belize if you were targeting permit and had only one fly to fish?
Good question. We'll do the lightning round on this. I'll give you the short answers. For me, Bower crab right there. Bower crab, the most effective permit pattern in Belize. I love it in olive. I also like to have a few in tan, but olive Bower crab is my number one pick, either in a size 2 or size 4.
And he asks, how long is your leader and what's your strip cadence?
Okay. Typically for permit fishing, I like a slightly longer leader. Oftentimes for bonefish, I'm fishing a 9 or 10-foot leader. For permit, more like 12 to 14-foot leader. I usually fish 16-pound tippet. Some people like 20. Kind of depends. I'd go 16 or 20, right in that range. Strip cadence totally depends on what the fish is doing, whether it's tailing, feeding, slowly cruising, if it's happy, if it's not. And guides will tell you different things. Some people say you cast a fly out there, you don't move it. Others will say you cast it out there, you strip it slowly. It really just varies. You know, it kind of depends on the behavior of the fish. Oftentimes, yeah. When I'm putting a fly on a permit and it's feeding, I will move the fly slowly to allow the permit to see it, and then I will stop the fly to allow them to eat it. But every fish is a little different, and every situation calls for a different presentation and different movement or no movement at all with the fly. It just totally depends. You know, permit are tough. They're never easy, and they never do the same thing on a consistent basis. So,
okay, Doug in Calgary, he asked about all three, but favorite flies for bonefish and tarpon. Let's go there.
Yeah. For bonefish, you know, gotchas and Christmas Island specials, those are great. Make sure you have different sink rates. So you have maybe the same gotcha fly pattern in the same size, let's say a size 6, but you have some with heavier eyes, some with medium sink eyes, and some with no eyes. So you have different sink rates. But Christmas Island specials, gotchas, those standards work everywhere for bonefish down there. Probably my go-to bonefish patterns. Size 6 and size 8, very important for Belize. For permit, we talked about it, down south, Bauer crab. Up north, shrimp patterns, like Enrico Puglisi's spawning shrimp and Peterson shrimp and the Avalon shrimp. Those are really deadly for permit in the northern part of the country. Very, very good in size 2 and 4 and all those patterns. For tarpon, kind of interesting. Things are getting a little more difficult for tarpon down there. It used to be they'd eat anything. Now it's getting a little more like the Florida Keys, where we're fishing smaller patterns, a little bit more sparsely tied. Smaller toads work very well. Enrico Puglisi peanut butter style flies work very, very well. That's kind of my go-to tarpon fly down there in a variety of different colors. But yeah, you don't need to go down there with a million different patterns. Just have a real basic selection of the right flies for the right species and you'll do fine.
This is a funny question that Shreg wrote in here on the internet. Up in Idaho. He says, the guys at Christmas Island pulled my rubber legs off the flies. They didn't like them. The guides in Belize like rubber legs?
You know, they're fine. Obviously on, you know, all your crab patterns, you know, you need to have crab legs on there. I mean, boy, you rip the legs off your crab patterns and it just becomes a sea urchin pattern, I guess. I don't know. But no, yeah, rubber legs are fine down there. Every guide's different. You know, you'll show your fly box to one guide, and he'll be like, oh, these are awesome. You'll do great with these. And then his buddy, who guides out of the same lodge, will look at him and be like, oh, no, those flies don't work. You know, every guide is different. So, you know, you just have a variety. You don't need to have every fly under the sun, but have the basics, and you'll do just fine down there. Rubber legs are fine.
Should you bring your own flies, or is that something that you would?
Yeah.
Their guides. Bring your own.
You know, a lot of people like to tie their own flies, which is fun. I always recommend you bring your own flies. There's not a lot of places to get flies in Belize, and most guides don't have them. Now, the guides at El Pescador, the guides at Turner Flats, they do have flies at the lodges. They have little fly shops at the lodge. So you can – what I always recommend to people is bring the basics down, and then when you get there on the first morning – on your arrival day, show your boxes to the guide. Say, hey, do I have what I need? Is there anything else I need? And oftentimes they'll walk them into the little shop and say, get two of these and get three of these, and then you're good to go. Because, again, every guide has different preferences on what they want to be fishing.
I think you have in the back of your book, don't you have a pretty extensive
list? Yeah, we have a really detailed list of flies broken down by species, pattern name, color, sizes, all that. It's really a good overall guide for Belize.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every guide is going to want, you know, their particular favorite. So I always say bring your flies, and then if the opportunity presents itself, supplement your stuff with what the guides have or what the shop is selling, what the guides like. There's a great fly shop on Ambergris, Tres Pescados, Will's shop. They have an awesome selection of flies. And again, the lodges, El Pescador, Turner Flats, they have in-house fly shops as well. But Beyond that, you got to bring what you're going to fish because the other guides won't have them. You know, you show up to, you know, especially day trip guides and whatnot, they won't necessarily have anything with them. Yeah.
There's a question from Clint in Washington. He says, can you talk a little bit about fishing from the boat versus weight fishing when targeting permit in Belize?
Yeah.
Is one method more successful than another? Is the choice primarily driven by conditions?
It's driven by conditions and where you find the fish. If the fish are up on the flats and they're in relatively skinny water, or they're feeding in kind of the breaking surf that's breaking onto the flats, anytime I can get out of the boat and wade for them, it's perfect because you can really close the distance for the much smaller chance of spooking those fish with haul slap or noises from the boat. So if I can wade for a permit, I always will, always. Oftentimes, they're in slightly deeper water, or if you're in the northern part of the country, the bottom's too soft, and so you're fishing from the boat, period. But it just totally depends on the conditions, where you are in the country, and what those fish are doing. Are they slowly cruising in deeper water, or are they up on the skinny flats in the southern part of the country where it's perfect for getting out and closing the distance and wading with them?
And then another question by Terry in San Marcos, California, asking about rods, reels.
Yeah.
Can you give us just a brief rundown
on
what you need?
So I always tell people, if possible, bring multiple rod reel setup. A lot of people say, oh, I just bring a 9-weight. It works for everything. Here's the deal, and here's what makes Belize special. Let's say you're in the boat. You're with your guide, okay, and you're fishing for bonefish, and all of a sudden the guide looks over and says, hey, I got 3 permit right here on the edge of the flat. If you can quickly put down your bonefish rod and then pick up your permit rod and it's rigged and ready, then you're in the game and you're getting shots on those fish. If you're the guy that only brought a 9-weight and you say, oh, well, hey, hold on a sec, I got to change my leader, I got to tie in a new fly, give me a few minutes, well, that opportunity's gone. So multiple rod reel setups are key for Belize because you never know when those situations are going to present themselves. For bonefish, I'm a big fan of a 9-foot 8-weight. I think that just covers all the bases. Yeah, you can fish a 7, you can fish a 9. An 8-weight is perfect. More so because of the wind and, you know, casting a fly greater distances than the size of the fish necessarily, but an 8-weight is perfect. For permit, I always fish a 9-foot 9-weight. I think a 9-weight is ideal for permit down there. Again, also ideal for casting some larger crab patterns and larger shrimp patterns. For tarpon, I like an 11-weight in Belize. Yeah, you can get by with a 10, especially if the tarpon are smaller. But, I mean, you might jump a 20-pound fish, then you jump a 25-pound fish, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, boom, 155-pound fish. And, you know, if you're fishing those tarpon with a 9 or 10-weight,
yeah,
you're severely undergunned. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
So, for me, I really like an 11-weight for tarpon. On all those outfits, tropical floating fly lines. Very, very important that you have tropical lines because of the heat down there. Don't take your steelhead or your cold water striper line to Belize. It will cast like a wet piece of spaghetti. For tarpon, I also typically bring an intermediate or sinking line with me as well on a second spool. But that's kind of the quick and dirty gear overview for the big 3 species.
Okay. A bit about other things you might want to bring, clothing. What kind of footwear do you recommend, being that you're
wading
in all kinds of different areas?
So if you're going to a place like Turniff or Placentia or Glover's, we're going to be doing a lot of wading, and you have crushed coral and you have sea urchins and stuff like that, I'm a huge fan of a good, you know, kind of mid to heavy duty pair of wading boots. For instance, the Sims flat sneakers. Those are my go-to footwear for most areas in Belize. Super comfortable, light, but still enough protection to wade anywhere in the country. If you're going up north to Ambergris or to Belize River Lodge, where you probably won't be doing as much wading, then you can get by with a pair of like the zip-up neoprene booties. Same with, you know, like Punta Gorda, probably. But, you know, it just depends. If you're going to an area where you're going to be doing a lot of wading, get a, you know, good pair of those Sims flat sneakers or a comparable pair because, you know, you want good foot protection when you're down there. But, you know, just do your research. Depends on where you're going in the country, for sure.
And what other items might you not want to be there? What you absolutely need to have down there?
Yeah, well, killer sunglasses. I mean, you want to have really, really good lenses. Do not skimp on the quality of your eyewear. You know, they're a good pair of Costas or, again, a comparable brand. You know, a copper or a brown lens that are ideal for flats scenarios are great. I always bring a couple pairs because, you know, if I lose one pair, you don't want to be out of the game. Spotting fish down there and the ability to see fish is key. It's so important. So quality eyewear. We talked about wading boots. You know, having the right fly lines, super important. Tropical fly lines that are specifically designed for bonefish and permanent tarpon are crucial down there. Don't have the wrong fly line in Belize. You'll be incredibly frustrated. We talked a little bit about the right selection of flies. Clothing, lightweight clothing that offers sun protection. That's the big thing. Some bug protection, you know, in the mornings and evenings. You know, really that's about it. I mean, you don't need a ton of other stuff. Obviously when it comes to camera gear, you know, you want great cameras, you want protective equipment for your cameras, whether it's a hard case or a waterproof backpack, that kind of thing.
Right.
Leaders and tippet, you know, have the standard stuff with you. And then that good selection of flies that we talked about, and you should be set.
And again, in the back of your book, I notice you have a complete packing list from fishing gear to personal to clothing items. And I don't, you know, I do a lot of outdoor activities, and I have checklists for everything I do, whether it's backpacking, river running, fishing. And I always find the checklist saves my butt so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Something I almost forgot that would have made life a lot easier if I had.
Well, I'm a big fan of those as well. And you know, that the checklist is in the back of the Belize book. And, you know, it's the same one that we send out with all of our Yellow Dog pre-trip materials to all our destinations. You know, we've created and refined and added to these lists over 20 years. So they're pretty detailed. You know, if it's on the list, bring it. If it's not on the list, you probably don't need it.
Yeah. A couple other questions. Just we're running late here, but I want to cover this thoroughly with you. Talking about trips themselves, how many days would you recommend a person take, or are they pretty standard down there?
You know, a week is great. You could do a couple days. You can do, you know, a shorter, more abbreviated trip. But here's the thing.
Weather.
If you go down for 2 days and it blows hard or it rains, well, you're out of the game, you know, or not out of the game, but it's going to be more difficult, I should say. Whereas, you know, if you go down for a week and a couple of those days you have tough weather, well, you're probably going to get a couple of days of really good weather as well. So, you know, you hedge your bets, you do a week-long trip, and chances are good you're going to, you know, experience some good fishing while you're there.
Yeah. What's the range of costs for a week-long trip down there? I know you said Key Clocker was probably the best value, but from there on up to the top, what is the range?
So I'd say the average trip down there these days is right around $3,000 to about $3,400 a week. Now, that's an all-inclusive package. Your lodging, all your meals, all of your guided fishing, your in-country transfers, all taxes, everything. A lot of times even your bar tab is included. So, you know, packages might start at like $2,200 at a place like Key Clocker, might go up to $4,400 at some of the Turniff destinations. So kind of everything in between. Still, I think, one of the overall best values in the Caribbean, very much on par with a lot of the pricing in Bahamas and Yucatan. So it's all comparable. But, you know, there's value trips, there's super high-end deluxe trips, and everything in the middle averages anywhere from $3,000 to $3,400 a week.
Is there a discount for a non-fishing partner then?
Yeah, almost always. There's almost always a non-angling rate, and that's roughly 50% of the cost of an angling package. Depends on the lodge, but yes, that's a good question. There's also, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, Roger, there's also high season and there's low season.
Right.
And low season tends to be summer and fall when you have fewer people traveling to Belize. It's still excellent fishing. I think some of the best of the year. But because the demand and the numbers aren't there, a lot of the lodges drop their prices significantly during that low season time frame. So that's another thing to think about if you're looking to really have great fishing and save a ton of money and get a great deal. So check out those seasonal rates.
Okay, and second to the last question I'll ask you here. Steve Bourne, who's been on our show, he's from Madison, Wisconsin. He's been a guest on our show.
Yeah, you bet.
I probably should ask Jim for his advice on the best approach for setting the hook on a permit. Delay set as soon as the fish tips down on the fly, etc. But because I value Yellow Dog's guidance, my question deals with the etiquette of anglers bringing their own alcohol to lodges, recognizing that the bar is often an important profit center. Not exactly fly fishing, but related.
Always
related.
Hey, that's a big part of fly fishing trips, no doubt, Steve. So, you know, you got to just use common sense on that. I mean, if you're staying at a place that, you know, you can kind of, you know, bring a great bottle of your favorite scotch or good rum or something like that, and you want to enjoy it on your own porch after fishing, you know, and that's fine, you know, versus bringing eight bottles and setting up your own bar, you know, within their bar. That can be in poor taste, yeah. Obviously. It is a big part, you know, for a lot of these lodges, you know, the bar tab is part of it. Other lodges, it's included now. You know, if you go to El Pescador, and all the bar tab's included. So, you know, you want to bring your own bottles there, they're not going to have a problem with that. Like, go right
yeah.
ahead.
Yeah,
so
it
just depends on the destination. But, no, it's a good question, and I'm glad he asked that because it can be a little bit of a faux pas with some of these lodges, but you just have to use common sense, and it's usually, even with the ones where it is an issue, if you just do it kind of casually and on the low down, on your own, you're fine.
Yeah, don't be carrying it around
that's right.
your hand
yeah.
throughout the
That's resort. Right.
And then one final question from Nathaniel in Pennsylvania. He wanted to know, what's your greatest moment fly fishing in Belize?
Oh, that's a good question. God, I'd have to really think about that. One that comes to mind is I was down there about 11 or 12 years ago on my honeymoon with my wife, Hillary, and it was in late June, and the tarpon fishing was really good. And my regular guide down there knew I was on my honeymoon, but he's like, come on, man, we got to get at least a little tarpon fishing in. I'm like, oh, geez, you know, on my honeymoon, don't do this to me. He's like, come on, just for a day. And so talked Hillary into going with me tarpon fishing. And I said, bring a book. It's not as exciting as, you know, bone fishing. There's not as much action, but we'll see what happens. It was hot. She had enough of it after a few hours, and she decided she wanted to get out of the boat and go for a swim. So she jumps off the boat. She's out treading water, and all of a sudden, my guide says, oh, I got tarpon right there, you know, coming in at 3 o'clock. And so I forgot to tell Hillary what it was, and both the guide and I said, honey, don't move. Don't kick. Don't make any movement in the water. She's like, oh, my God, you know, what is she's immediately thinking there's a big shark or something. And the tarpon are coming right at her. And she's between us and the tarpon. And so I think I laid the cast right over the top of her. The biggest fish in the school surged on the fly, ate it. She's still in the water and probably about 5 feet away from my wife. You know, after I set the hook, the tarpon explodes out of the water. And it was a big, big fish, big triple-digit fish. And if you, A, have never been around that, never seen it, and, B, if you're actually in the water as the fish explodes and tail walks over the top of you, I think it can be a little traumatic. And I'm not sure she's ever really forgiven me for that one. But that's probably
my
famous
right?
moment. Still married, but we refer to that as the honeymoon tarpon. So that was great.
That's a good story. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's a funny one. I don't think that'll be repeated.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, well, we've got to wind it up here. And but stick with me, Jim, just till the end here, because we're going to give away your book, and I want you to be
you
around
bet.
When we do that. We're also going to be giving away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to Fly Fishing and Dying Journal. And as I said, Fly Fishing Belize by Jim Klug. Courtesy of Jim Klug, we're going to give a copy of that away. And everybody else will have to just contact Jim and get a book from him directly. Is that the best way if they want to get something signed?
Yeah, you bet. We'll sign and personalize any book. Just go to klugphotos.com. You can order it, PayPal, credit card, very easy, and we'll get it right out and personalize it with any message you want. You bet.
Okay, great. Okay, let's quickly get these questions done here and drawings done, and then we'll call it a night here. The wind's howling outside my window here like crazy, so I don't know what's going on. I want to get this done before we lose electricity, which it happens around here. Okay, so for the drawing, we're going to give away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers. And if you don't know about the Federation, you need to find out. Go to fedflyfishers.org, great organization to support and be a part of. They do a lot of conservation efforts and so forth as well. And Dale Bear in Montana is the winner of that. So congratulations, Dale. And let me just get that down here. And by the way, if you are one of the winners, which are randomly selected from our show's registration database, we'll contact you after the show to provide you with information on how to receive your gift. And make sure if you didn't sign up today to sign up for the next show, because it's always a great chance to win something nice here. And the next thing is a one-year subscription to Fly Fishing and Tying Journal, which is going to go to Steve Wethington. Steve Wethington. And Steve is in Kentucky. So congratulations, Steve. And that's courtesy of Amato Books. Check AmatoBooks.com out. Great books on fly fishing in the outdoors, as well as some periodicals like Fly Fishing and Tying Journal. So check them out, and I know you'll be pleased to see what they have. Okay, let's give away Jim's book. Again, it's called Fly Fishing Belize. What is this? Is it like 11 by 11, or I didn't even measure?
Yeah, it's a big coffee table,
12
by hardcover
12,
book.
Yeah,
yeah it's a little over 12 by 12, and it definitely passes the weight test. So there's no doubt.
Oh yeah,
it's a big heavy book.
Yeah, it has the thunk factor, thud factor, whatever you want to call it. Beautiful book. You'll want to keep it on the table and inspire you to want to go to Belize for sure. And let me just clear my queue here. And okay, so if you want to participate in this, you go to our homepage on the web, askaboutflyfishing.com. There's that text box in there. You need to put your answer to the question in that text box, as well as your name and your location. And the first person to answer correctly will win. Now I'm looking at them, and I don't see the box there. We might have a problem here. Hold on here. 216. Well, hold on here. Sorry, Jim. Hold on.
That's all right.
I know people have. I know people have been using the box throughout the show. Can somebody type in the box and let me know if you guys can see it? Because I'm not seeing it. Because we've run over in time here. Okay, we'll do this a different way. First person to answer the question by sending me an email to info@askaboutflyfishing.com. info@askaboutflyfishing.com. We'll do it that way. Since I think the box timed out. So send your answer to info@askaboutflyfishing.com. And what I want to know is I want to know if I want to go to Permit Alley, what town or village do I need to go to get to Permit Alley?
That's a good question. I like that.
These guys are pretty sharp, and if I ask, like, the favorite fly, then that's a no-brainer. They always write that down. But you have to ask more obscure questions to get this. So, again, you guys, send me an email at info@askaboutflyfishing.com with your answer and your name and your location, and we'll see who wins. My email a second to refresh here. First one that came in was ambergris, and that's not it, right, Jim?
Right, that's not it.
Next answer I got is Punta Gorda. Jim?
No, that's still not it, although it's a great permit destination, no doubt about it.
No, and that was one of the best you said.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's
but
not
the Permit Alley designation is a specific area that is related to a certain village. It's kind of a stepping off point, and it's kind of had this nickname for decades, really. And
yeah,
someone will figure it out here.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Okay, here's the next one in. Punta Gorda, no. Oh, I think here we finally got one. Hopkins.
There it is.
That's
it is Hopkins.
It. Yep, Hopkins is the place you want to go to get to Permit Alley. So this is like Clint Despries. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your last name correctly.
Nice job, Clint.
Yeah, good job. Clint, just send me an email, same place, and send me your complete name, mailing address, and I do have your email here already, so that we can get this sent out, and Jim's going to send that out directly from his office. Congratulations and paying attention. He was taking notes, I'm sure.
That's good. That's good.
Well, Jim, I'm sorry we ran over, but, hey, you had a lot to share, and we probably, you know, dented your book at least 10 pages, right?
I think
so.
No,
to get
it's
the rest of the answers, you know. So
It's fun to talk about Belize, and it's an amazing country, amazing place to visit and fish. And appreciate you having me back on the show, Roger. This is great. Always a good time.
Yeah, and it was funny because my lady friend Julie, she subscribes to my email, so she knows what I'm doing on the shows. And we've been planning a trip to go back down to Belize, and she goes, "You're doing a show on Belize tonight?" So she was all excited, too. But anyway, yeah, thanks a lot, Jim, for being on the show. I do appreciate you taking your time, and I know you had a busy schedule. So really appreciate you being here.
You bet. Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Sure. Our next broadcast will be on March 16th, 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern. And on that show, we'll interview Eric Thule, and our topic for the show will be Muskie Magic. Eric is a professional guide in Wisconsin, has been targeting muskie with a fly for many years. His intimate knowledge of this elusive predator will help you get one on the hook. So join us to hear his secrets. We'd like to thank the Federation of Fly Fishers, Amato Books, and Jim Klug for providing the prizes for tonight, and also Women's Fly Fishing in Alaska for sponsoring our show. Don't forget to visit our website at askaboutflyfishing.com and make sure you're signed up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Thanks for listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. That's it. Good night, everyone, and good fishing.